Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your iced tea guzzling, kitchen reorganizing. I accidentally spent like $115 at Spirit Halloween friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your maintenance phase podcast listening, excited for apple season, actually embracing that a lot of my clothes no longer bring me joy and I'm donating them, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world. And we always invite you to join us. Thanks for listening. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week I'm talking about birds predicting giant storms way before humans can predict them.
That's awesome. I've heard that that's a thing, but I've never known much about it.
Hashtag bird content. What are you talking about, Bethany?
I am talking about the reasons why people unfollow you on social media. I recently found out that a couple of friends that I thought were friends of mine unfollowed me, and I wanted to do a bit of an investigation into the reasons why people unfollow actual friends and relatives in real life. And, you know, just trying to get an idea of like, did I do something wrong or is it more about them? So we'll get into it.
Screw them, Bethany. You are a lovely friend and person to follow on social. Screw them and their lonely, sad lives.
It is interesting. I don't think we're going to get to it in this segment. Several people commented that they unfollow anyone that they haven't talked to in about a year or more. Like if they just don't see them, they unfollow them on social media.
A year is not that long.
It isn't that long, but it shows that we don't all use it the same. I'm friends with people that I haven't talked to or seen in years, but I care about them. And so I still follow them.
Yeah.
Some people just do like, oh, I haven't talked to this person, unfollow, even if there's still an affection there. So it is important to keep in mind that we don't all use it the same.
That's really interesting because my main use of social media isn't to keep up with old friends. It's to like see what other content creators are producing and to also get home decor and DIY content.
Sure. Yeah.
Just like the occasional post that I see from an old friend is just like an added bonus.
Yeah, me too. But I think some people, if they see an old post from a friend or post from an old friend rather,
yeah,
it will remind them that they haven't seen that friend in a while and they'll unfollow them. And there's like no hard feelings. I think part of it too is there's, I think, a generational difference.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all have the person who's maybe a little bit older who texts with no punctuation and you think they're always mad, but it's just because they use texting differently. I think maybe people who are a little older see social media differently than, you know, maybe the generation that has grown up with it.
Gentle listeners, happy first unofficial day of fall. The summer is over.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Tuesday, September 7th, and everyone was posting their goodbye summer collages on Instagram over the weekend, which it's like the top nine at the end of the year. I just am not into that stuff. I don't know why.
Yeah, I tend to just sort of, speaking of how we use social media, I kind of maybe look at the first picture, but I don't really swipe through.
Yeah.
Because it's usually pictures of lots of groups of people having fun in different ways.
Uh-huh.
And so oddly, they're all kind of the same picture of like a lot of people smiling, lot of people smiling. Now more people in a group smiling in different beach and getaway and beer gardens. And I'm like, okay.
I did, to celebrate the unofficial start to fall, I went to the supermarket and bought four different types of apples.
Ooh.
In which I'm going to host an apple taste testing with myself later.
That sounds fun. Now, what are the four types of apples you got?
I got a pink lady. I got a jazzy. I got a pink lady, a jazzy, a honey golden, no, honey something.
And crisp?
Honey crisp and then a Jonah.
What the hell's a Jonah?
I don't know, Bethany, but I'll let you know which ones taste the best.
So it's the apple got stuck in a whale's belly and I got spewed back out. Sorry that my throat just was so disgusting. I apologize for that.
It's the least disgusting part of your body, though. I'll tell you that. Oh, my God. That I'm so mean. Why did I say that?
Sometimes it just has to come out, you know, yeah. and you let it out. So here's the, I don't know if you've experienced this, but here's the bad thing about all of us having to do Zoom still for appointments, et cetera.
Yeah.
Is unless you have a very nicely curated office spot with a nice background that doesn't show too much of your house.
Yeah.
People can see the squalor that you live in. And I do all of my work from my kitchen. And so, Kathleen, you can see behind me. You see my sink and my cupboards and all of my things.
Yeah, I like your backsplash. You have a lot of...
Yeah.
You and I have the same color KitchenAids. I like that.
Yeah. That Martha Stewart icy teal color. But the problem is that I see my nutritionist over Skype or over Zoom. And I'm always telling my nutritionist how much I hate cooking, et cetera. We all know this. My nutritionist finally got brave last week. And she did that little thing where she kind of moved her head over here and like over here. And she's looking behind me on my screen. And she said, now I want you to take this in the spirit in which it's intended. And I'm like, oh, no.
Uh-huh.
And she said, it seems like your kitchen might be a little cluttered.
What? Get out of here. I've never thought that about your kitchen.
Okay. Apparently she thinks my kitchen is cluttered. And this hurt my feelings, especially because I had already taken a bunch of things off the shelf and put them on the ground so she couldn't see them. And so she was actually seeing the less cluttered version of my kitchen. And she posited that perhaps I would feel less overwhelmed about cooking and food in general if I had a cleaner kitchen experience.
Get out of here.
I'm both annoyed and grateful.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, my kitchen's fine.
Here's the thing. You need tools and things to live your everyday life, right?
Right.
Every time I go over to this one particular friend's house, I have to bring my own cup in my purse because I know for a fact that this friend doesn't have enough cups so multiple people can drink at the same time. And then we end up drinking, I don't know, wine out of like, you know, a little dip bowl or something.
That is so annoying.
It's like you can't pare down everything. And right. I've been in your kitchen and I don't think you have an overwhelming amount of stuff. It's just that you don't have a lot of closed cabinets.
That's part of it. Yes. I have a lot of open concept stuff.
Open concept shelving. And I always wonder the people who have a lot of open concept shelving, because one of my deepest fears is like grabbing a glass, like a water glass from the, you know, the cabinet and then there being dust in it and not realizing that there's dust in it and then pouring water in and drinking dust. Like that is one of my deepest, darkest fears.
That one keeps you up at night, huh?
Yeah. And so what do you, like Bethany, you have all these open cabinetry. Do you rinse out your glasses before you drink?
With the mugs, I do. Yeah, absolutely. But there's other stuff that I like. It's mostly things in canisters where the dust doesn't get on them. But I recently moved cookbooks from the open shelves into a cabinet because there are some cookbooks that are like heirloom cookbooks.
Yeah.
And they were getting dust on them. And I'm like, this is not a safe place for them to be.
No.
So yeah, I had to put them away. And my God, the dust that collects.
Speaking of kitchen organization, did you see that video that went viral over the weekend because BuzzFeed posted it? It was this woman and she's like, I'm going to reorganize my fridge for a way that makes sense for my ADHD brain. And she's like, the crisper drawer where everyone puts their fruits and vegetables, that's the drawer where food goes to die because I can't ever see it.
Yeah.
So she took all of her condiments, put her condiments in the crisper drawer, then took all of her fruits and vegetables, put them in the side door where she could actually see them. And she's like, this is how I'm setting up my fridge from now on. Because if I want a condiment, I can go into the crisper drawer and find it. But now at least I have my eyeballs on all of the things, the fresh produce that I've purchased. So now it won't go bad.
That is such a good idea.
Yeah.
Because if you want a condiment, you're going to work for that condiment. I'm never going to work for lettuce.
No, never.
That's such a good idea.
I know.
Why are we being held hostage by the crisper drawer doing exactly what we thought we needed to use the crisper drawer for?
Refrigerator scientists, or refrigerator designers rather, should put crisper compartments in the side door.
Yeah, it's like those scientists who make refrigerators have never had to have any sort of burden in their entire lives. You know, they've just had easy sailing. The way that they clearly put together that fridge, you can tell they haven't ever had a struggle in their whole lives. Crispers are the result of entitlement.
Yes, and she said put all of the drinks on one shelf so then you're not like forgetting about a random seltzer that freezes and explodes in the back of the fridge.
I have a tonic water that was in the back of my fridge. I hate tonic water. Someone brought it over. It was in the back of my fridge for 2 years.
Pardon the interruption, but this is Dennis, and I just wanted to fully admit that that tonic water was mine. Even though I don't drink, I enjoy a tonic water with some lime. I know that's disgusting, but what are you going to do?
Did it ever explode?
Didn't ever explode, thank God. But I was like, someone will drink it eventually. No one ever drank it.
No. Did you just dump it?
Sure did. Yeah. It's tonic water. It tastes disgusting. It gives me a headache.
Yeah, that's what I do with the Coors Lights that my friend Dan always leaves at my house. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Sorry, bro.
Going in the toilet.
Well, it's going to be a thrilling episode today, friends. We're talking about birds and Instagram.
You know what? Before we sign off, I just want to give a general PSA that September is apple season, not October. So if you want to go pick your apples this fall season, do it in the month of September.
Oh, if you want to get that good, good content, that good Instagram photo content with you holding your partner's hand while you pick an apple, got to do it this month.
Don't wait until October because there ain't no apples left then. Bethany. Gentle listener, we're looking at the Rothy's homepage right now, and they just came out with these darling Velcro sneakers where the Velcro is a different color than the rest of the sneaker, and they're so dang cute.
Their stuff just keeps getting cuter and cuter. It's too much to handle.
And you know how I know that Rothy's is one of the most versatile shoes around? Because every time I'm shopping for clothes, the model is always wearing Rothy's, no matter what clothing brand it is. It's like they're showing their dresses and their cute pants with Rothy's sneakers. And I'm like, see, even models love Rothy's. They're just like us.
They're just like us. And now as we're heading into fall and you're looking at your wardrobe and your style and you're like, what change can I make?
Yeah.
Meet Rothy's Men's. It's their newly launched men's shoes. They're intentionally designed with an artisanal level of detail and created with nearly zero waste. And they're just like the Rothy's shoes you expect. Durable, washable, and better for the planet. Plus, rigorous testing during research and development results in a perfect fit wash after wash.
You know, we all have those guys in our life where we're like, ugh, they have everything that they already need. Like, what do I buy for them? Rothy's is what you buy for them.
Yeah.
And Rothy's has over 5,000 near perfect reviews. So this is not just Bethany and I like going on and on about one of our favorite brands of shoes. Like, people love these shoes. Step up your fall wardrobe, but also your summer wardrobe because it's still summer with washable, sustainable, stylish shoes and bags from Rothy's.
Head to rothys.com/taste to find your new warm weather favorites today. That's rothys.com/taste. Okay, so Kathleen, a couple of weeks ago, I was on social media and I saw a post from someone that I thought I was friends with.
Yeah.
And it was kind of this negative, passive-aggressive post about someone else, a friend of this person. And I was like, oh, they're being kind of negative about this friend. And I wonder, just out of curiosity, do they still follow me? I knew that they weren't posting about me because it didn't match up, but I just was curious.
Yeah.
So I checked and they did not follow me anymore.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Yes, especially when it's somebody who you did not have a falling out with.
Yeah.
Nothing bad has happened to your knowledge, but you just realize this person doesn't follow you on social media anymore. So I checked in with a mutual friend of ours who is kind of always in this friend group.
Yeah.
They also no longer follow me.
What the fuck?
It's crazy. Now, again, nothing really had happened.
Yeah.
We haven't seen each other in a couple of years because of the pandemic, but I just assumed everything was good. Apparently it is not.
Bethany, this drives me so crazy because it's not like you're posting things that are offensive.
Right.
You know, it's not like you're going on Facebook rants or Instagram rants about political things. Like, get out of here.
It's true. And I know that we're on the same side of politics and women's rights and stuff. So that if I do post that kind of stuff, that's not the reason that they would unfollow.
Mm.
So I know that some people will be rolling their eyes to this conundrum because it seems like it doesn't matter. But this is really a new part of our social relationships is with people you know in real life.
Uh-huh.
Also following them on social media is now an aspect of your friendship and your relationship. Did you hear Minerva jump just now?
No, I didn't. I'm laughing because I just remembered somebody who unfollowed me.
Someone you know in real life?
Yes, I'll tell you who it is.
Who?
It is my sister-in-law's mother.
Do you know? Do you have any idea why?
I don't. I should probably mention to my sister-in-law, Bronwyn, that her mom unfollowed me. And maybe she could ask her mom why. And maybe I could do better in the future or something. But it's like, like, my nieces are this woman's grandchildren, so we have a pretty strong connection there, right?
I mean, I think so. Some families are different, but I think, yeah.
I see her multiple times a year at holidays and birthdays and stuff like this, and like, Beverly, what did I do that made you unfollow me?
I love that you're calling them out by name, by the way. So that's why I wanted to look into, why do people unfollow other people that they know in real life? Not the parasocial relationships like following celebrities or influencers.
Yeah.
But like, why did you unfollow your coworker? Why did you unfollow a family member? Because that might be able to then give us information on why someone unfollowed us.
Okay.
Whether or not you want to admit it, it's hurtful.
Yeah, it hurts a lot. I'm looking at you, Gleb Lovashov. Why did you unfollow me? And I got so mad that Gleb unfollowed me that I re-added him as a friend immediately on Facebook, and he has yet to respond to my request.
Here's a question before I get into the meat and potatoes of this.
Yeah.
When someone unfollows you and it's a shock to you,
yeah,
do you unfollow back immediately, or do you keep following them as a passive aggressive stand? Like, well, it's not my fault. I still follow you.
It depends on the person. If like, that person I know is a petty bitch and we were only following each other for, you know, appearances, and I find out that they've unfollowed me, I immediately unfollow them. But the people who I'm really hurt by, I go ahead and refriend them again.
Yeah, I, for a period of time, would just keep following that person.
Yeah.
But at some point, you just hit the, like, fuck it point and you just unfollow because it's like, what's the point?
I know.
So I found this article on Medium.com, and it was written by a woman named Roxy A, and it's called "Take It Personally When Someone Unfollows You on Instagram."
Good.
Yeah. And I really kind of took my cues from her when it comes to this segment, because she made some really good points. She said that people use social media to send a message. The message is subtle and it's passive aggressive. And that message is, I don't value you, or you've done something to bother me, but I'm not going to talk to you about it in real life.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So according to Roxy, here's a pretty good rundown of why you should and should not take unfollowing personally.
Okay.
So here's why you should take it personally. Now you have to deal with awkward social encounters. Mm-hmm. Like you, Kathleen, if you run into your sister-in-law's mother at an event, you know that she's saying, I don't value you and I don't care that you know it.
Since discovering that she unfollowed me on Instagram, I've seen her multiple times. I still follow her, and I make a point to like everything. So then she's going to be like, oh, yeah, look at Kathleen. She's so sweet, liking all my stuff. Oh, I unfollowed her. Maybe I should follow her again.
And I would also, if I were you, bring up Instagram as much as possible in conversation just to make her feel uncomfortable, because that's my kind of retaliation.
Yeah.
But it will just make things uncomfortable. By the way, if someone unfollows you, it also shows that they don't care to keep up appearances, according to this article, because they could have just muted you, but they chose instead to just completely sever the online relationship. Mm. Here's another reason why you should care. You're making someone feel bad about themselves. Now, this isn't necessarily your problem, but it's something to be aware of. And I'll talk about this in a little bit, but like, if you're posting a lot of stuff about vacationing or working out or your amazing life, you might be promoting something that's not truly authentic. And that's a good thing to keep in mind. Like, check your feed. Are you only posting about all of the travels you've been on, even though none of us are able to travel?
Yeah.
That's something to be aware of. It might be not authentic, you know?
Have you ever unfollowed someone because you were just sick and tired? Someone that you actually know, because you're just sick and tired of seeing like their perfect life and their perfect posts?
Yeah, I've definitely muted them. I've been so afraid to unfollow in real life because I don't want them to know, but I've muted the hell out of a lot of people.
There's this guy, George, in my friend circle, and George is definitely not in the same he doesn't share the same politics as most of our friends do.
Yeah.
And so George has kind of been on the outskirts, and I unfollowed him on Facebook a long time ago. George has no clue that I've unfollowed him on Facebook. He just is like, it is not on his radar, but I felt so powerful when I unfriended George. I was like, fuck George.
Yeah.
Fuck George and his views on abortion and politics. And I know that because I just saw him at a party this weekend and he was like really cheerful and chippy and chirpy and people like that where I'm like, yeah, stick it to the man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The man has no idea that I stuck it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. The man has no clue and is happily carrying on their life.
Yeah.
One of the other reasons that you should take it personally is that it might be because you're posting too much and they don't want to see it. Again, is because you're just living your life and they're jealous or because you're maybe posting way too freaking much.
Oh, like my cousin Susan, 16 times a day on average.
Way too much. What is Susan posting about?
Pomeranians and her children.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to get into kids in a second.
Her kids are grown. Her kids are grown.
Look at my baby. He's 25. Okay, here's why you shouldn't take it personally, according to this article.
Uh-huh.
If your friends are being sensitive instead of supportive, that's not your problem.
Mm.
If they're comparing themselves to you and not being happy for you, that's toxic. It's good that you know it.
Yes.
Also, it's not your fault they don't like your content. Like, if you really love Pomeranians and someone's not an animal person, don't stop loving Pomeranians just because, you know, Susan doesn't like them.
You know what? I didn't like Pomeranians before I became friends with Susan on Facebook, and I don't like them after. You know, they're just like a neutral dog to me.
I love Pomeranians. If you cut them into a puppy cut and they have the perfectly round face, they look happy all the time, Kathleen.
Yeah, but they're yappy dogs.
No, they're cute. Nah. They're like little stuffed animals come to life.
Okay. If you get a Pomeranian, I promise I won't unfriend you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I also don't believe it. And lastly, they choose who they follow and you can unfollow them too. My favorite part about this article is she wrote, make peace with their decision by seeking closure or getting even. I think when she says getting even, she means unfollow them as well, but it really does sound like slash their tires or like break into their home.
getting even.
Getting even.
I used to have this thing on Facebook called like the unfriend finder or something.
Yes.
Because I take Facebook more personally than I do the other social media forms because Facebook is really like just me personally and not like my web girl Kathleen stuff. And so I used to see the people that unfriended me and I was like, what the actual F? But then it would also, you know, like you can deactivate your Facebook and then reactivate it and then deactivate it and reactivate it.
Yeah, totally.
I figured out which of the people I was friends with on Facebook that were emotionally disturbed because they were deactivating and reactivating like 7 times a day. And I was like, oh shit, you got something brewing beneath the surface. Eventually, I unfriended some of these people that were reactivating and deactivating constantly because I just didn't want to see their name pop up in my unfriend app.
Is there a reason that you wanted to see who unfriended you? Because it just seems like it would hurt your feelings. But I know a lot of people do this.
I did. And it's hard to put into words exactly why. And it's not like I'm going to change myself significantly when somebody unfollows me.
Mm-hmm.
I just am curious as to when I no longer am, not that I'm important in like these practically, they're practically strangers, all these, but you know, 700 of my closest Facebook friends.
Yeah.
It's just that I think I wanted to know when I was on their radar enough for them to want me to not be on their radar.
And what purpose would that serve?
I don't know, Bethany.
That's what I'm wondering. Because you're absolutely not alone in this.
I don't know.
People want to know when they're being unfollowed. And
I
don't do that because I know it will hurt my feelings so badly to get a daily list of all the people who stopped caring about me.
Yeah.
And it's hurtful.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're doing it for analytical reasons because you have a business and you want to see what content is working, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like Facebook where it's mostly people you know or people of people you know, are you in a way doing it to sort of poke yourself and sort of be mean to yourself a little bit? And I'm not even saying you're doing it for that reason, but I'm just saying like out into the ether, it's a question to ask oneself.
Yeah, because I feel bad. I feel totally bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pissed. I'm so pissed that Gleb unfollowed me.
Yeah.
I have a whole photo album on my Facebook page dedicated to his wedding.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, no. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's something to think about. It's something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
So I went on Instagram and I asked people, why have you in the past unfollowed someone you know in real life? Not a celebrity, like a person in your life.
Yeah.
And I got so many responses, Kathleen.
Yeah.
What do you think were the top two responses why people unfollowed someone?
They post too much about their kids.
Okay. That's not one of the top two, but it's in there.
And they post too frequently.
Also not the top two, but it's in there.
Really?
The top two are politics.
Oh.
And spreading COVID misinformation that is not safe. Those are the top two by far. They came up constantly.
Interesting. See, the COVID, I don't unfriend because every time they post, I want to troll them with actual facts about COVID. But the politics, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. The politics for sure.
Yeah.
So that was one and two. The top three reason was either racism or bigotry.
Yeah.
And then we go into some more fascinating pieces of information.
Ooh.
And I wanted to kind of ask these questions because I wanted to know why someone was unfollowing me. I think it's good for us to get that view into someone else's brain because not everyone uses social media the same way.
So the two people that unfriended you, you guys used to be good friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
In a past life, in your childhood, you were very good friends.
Not childhood, but like in my 20s, we hung out quite a bit. And then when I moved away, I saw them over the holidays. We would hang out. It was, you know, it was a positive relationship.
And then out of the blue, for no reason, because you haven't really been in touch with them, unfriend.
Yeah, unfriended.
Crazy.
It was nuts. And it was very hurtful. It bugged me for about a week.
Yeah.
I really like sat with that and was really unhappy about it. And it just hurt my feelings.
Do they have kids, both of them?
No.
Because sometimes if it's a mom thing, I chalk it up to, oh, they only want to see mom content. And maybe I'm just like too weird and free spirited for them. And like, listen, if strollers and snooze and you know, toddler playgroups are your thing, like by all means, my content is probably not for you. But like, when the kid factor isn't there, that's really interesting.
So here are some other reasons that people gave me for why they've been unfollowing some people in their lives.
Okay.
They post too often.
Mm.
One of them said they post about their business about 10 times a day. Like, I get it. You're trying to promote your business, but that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said she posted nonstop for a year about her wedding plans.
Oh, God.
Which is a lot.
Ugh.
Someone commented they unfollowed someone because they had an obsession with a celebrity that they posted about too much and it was getting creepy.
What? Really? An adult? Okay.
Yes. And most people said baby or child pictures. It became nonstop, no other content except baby or kid pictures. And it was just a lot, you know?
I'm trying to figure out the last time that I unfriended someone and why I unfriended them. On Facebook, I do it a lot if I can tell that their pictures are photoshopped and they're like in bikinis.
Yes.
Pretending how good of shape they're in.
To what you said, Kathleen, 10 people said that they unfollowed because someone was promoting a super fake version of their life.
Mm, yeah.
Specifically, two people mentioned the person would post a lot about their faith or their religion.
Yeah.
This person said the person only posts religious stuff, which I know is hypocritical. They post about being faithful when I know they've cheated in every relationship.
Oh.
So we had several people say that they wanted children and were struggling to conceive.
Yeah.
And so it was really tough to see other people have children. One quote, my husband and I are dealing with infertility. When friends announce they're pregnant, I usually mute them because the reminder of what we don't have is hard.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah.
Another person said, I was comparing our completely different life chapters. I lost what they still had and it hurt too much to see it. And another person said, I was jealous watching them get married and have babies when I'm still single. Sad, but true. People were really honest about the comparison game. The person they were following isn't doing anything wrong, but they have a life that is really fun or is in a, you know, place where the user wishes their life was in. That's really tough. And it makes sense to unfollow or at least to mute because it's hard. You don't want to see that. I've done the very same thing.
For those reasons, I wouldn't unfollow someone. I would just mute them.
One thing that someone made a really good point about is that sometimes if it's a person in your life that you have to see a lot, maybe a coworker, they're whining a lot on Facebook or Instagram, or if they're posting things that are really negative and are affecting you, if they're really toxic, if they're toxic positive, or just toxic in general.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to unfollow them to save the relationship in real life.
Yeah.
And that's a very real mental health thing you have to do. People have said that I unfollowed them because they would make me go down an emotional spiral. They're posting about dieting or body content was making me feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
And in those cases, it is absolutely okay to mute or unfollow someone if it's affecting your mental health when you're online. And it's also good to keep in mind. So if you find that someone has unfollowed you, take a look at the stuff they post. Take a look at the stuff you post. If you're being authentically yourself and you, in a moment of pure honesty, are like, yes, this is a good reflection of who I am, them unfollowing you probably has more to do with them than it does with you.
Yeah.
And if you're just doing your best to be a good person and to be authentic, it's not your fault. Try not to take it personally. Try to realize that, you know, we're all doing the best we can and it's okay. Kathleen, when everyone was stuck at home, we could go feral and like not shave as much, not groom as much.
Yeah.
Typically just kind of look like wild people of the forest. But now we're getting back out into the world. Some people are going back to the office. You can't afford to look like a ragamuffin. And that means it's time to start grooming, friends.
Yes. Not only is the Athena Club razor kit the prettiest razor around, I gotta tell you, I went to the spa recently, had to shave my whole body, and my razor didn't look like a ragged tool after shaving every inch of my body. It still looked beautiful after I really had to use it as a weed whacker.
It really put an effort into your body. So Athena Club's razor is designed with built-in skin guards to help prevent razor burn. It's gentle on curves, and the razor blade is surrounded by water-activated serum that has shea butter and hyaluronic acid, so it's a holy grail for skincare.
And the best part is that the razor kit is only $9, and it comes with two blade heads, an adorable and useful magnetic hook for your shower, and your choice of handle color.
And if you're like, color is too much, they also have black and white razors if you're a minimalist. I have the blue one, believe it or not, but now I kind of wish I had the black one.
No, get out of here. The blue one is so cute.
Black one. So show your skin you care with the Athena Club Razor Kit. Sign up today and you're going to get 20% off your first order.
All you have to do is go to athenaclub.com and use the promo code TASTE. That's athenaclub.com, promo code TASTE for 20% off.
Kathleen,
yeah.
Gone are the days where you could only get cute bras if your boobs were a certain size.
Amen to that.
And that certain size was like 32A or B. No, if you have a size nothing, or if you're a size, I don't know, H, double H.
That's me. I got big bazoomas now.
Big boobs. You can have adorable bras thanks to Third Love.
Third Love has been partners with us for a long time, and this is a product that I can't say enough amazing things about. Their classic t-shirt bra, I basically wear it every day. It's just one of those things that I just don't feel confident unless I'm wearing my Third Love bra.
And I love their new seamless collection. It's called Form. It's wireless bras and form-fitting underwear with limitless stretch and endless comfort, and it disappears under your clothes. If you haven't tried Third Love, this is the bra company that has taken thousands of people's measurements and used them to come up with their sizing. They have sizes going from cups AA to I, including half cup sizes.
Where else can you find that? Nowhere. Third Love stands behind their products. If you don't love it, exchanges and returns are free. And Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are available via chat or email to answer your questions.
So how do you get started? It's super easy. You go to their website and you take their Fit Finder quiz. It's an online quiz. It's super easy to take. You take your measurements, you look at your breast shape and size and directions that everything points, and it helps you find the bras from Third Love that will probably fit you the best.
Yeah, because they have 80 sizes. Third Love knows that you deserve to feel comfortable and confident 24/7. So right now, they are offering Acquired Taste listeners 20% off of your first order.
Just go to thirdlove.com/taste right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 20% off your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/taste for 20% off today. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Did you know that birds can tell that big storms are coming way before humans?
I've heard tell of, and I don't know where I've heard this, before a big something event, an act of God, you'll see the animals run for the hills.
Yes.
But I don't know if that is something I've read about or if it's something I've seen in like Disney's Fantasia or something where, you know, like, you know, Mickey Mouse is like about to make all the brooms run around and then you see the deer and the rabbits and the squirrels all run into the forest to get away. I feel like that's a trope, but I don't know where I've heard it.
Well, you know that saying, the calm before the storm?
Yes.
It's because you go outside and you don't hear the animals. You don't hear the birds chirping because right before the storm is about to hit, they've gone away and they've hidden themselves and they're no longer happily chirping in the trees that you're used to hearing them in.
That makes sense. I always thought it was a metaphor for how things are great until you get a divorce.
Yes. Also, that's the calm before the storm as well. But when we're talking strictly weather, today I'm talking about birds that can hear tsunamis and other storms way before they hit. This is based off of this really interesting article that I read in The Atlantic magazine by Hakai magazine and Jason Gregg. And scientists hope the ability can be turned into an early warning system.
Hell yeah. We need to start hiring those storks and be like, can you let us know, Greg, when you feel something coming?
So I've been thinking about birds a lot lately because you've been doing a lot of bird content on the podcast. But also, I have a little plastic bird feeder attached to one of my windows. And I was like, it's occurred to me that the birds really haven't been coming lately. And I was like, what the hell? Where'd all the birds go? It's still summer. Turns out, Bethany, that many birds have already left by midsummer.
To fly south?
Yeah, to go wherever they're going to go next. Isn't that crazy?
They want to keep from getting stuck on a pileup.
So let's take our airplanes over to French Polynesia. Mm. 5 years ago, there's this French Navy officer. His name is Jérôme Chardon.
That's a hot boy name, too.
Yeah. He was listening to a radio show about bar-tailed godwits.
I love that type of bird.
A bar-tailed godwit is a bird that migrates yearly between New Zealand and Alaska. That is 7,000 miles.
Dude, that bird's got to have a healthy heart.
And Jérôme Chardon is like, wow, that's a treacherous journey. And I know this better than anybody else because I am the coordinator of rescue operations across Southeast Asia and French Polynesia. So the question is, could tracking birds help save human lives when it comes to storm prediction? So this past January, the French government funded a team from France's National Museum of Natural History to track birds. They equipped 56 birds from 5 different species with cutting-edge animal tracking technology. Then the French Navy took these birds, they ferried them all the way to the islands of French Polynesia. Scientists there attached tags using a tracking technology called Icarus, and these tags transmit the birds' locations to the International Space Station, which bounces the data back to scientists on Earth, who can then follow the birds as they forage, migrate, and rest, all while waiting to see how birds predict natural disasters.
This is crazy. There is so much science happening.
I know.
As you and I are just sitting and watching YouTubers like Cody Ko talk about their reaction videos, people are putting little vests on birds that have little tracking in my head. It's also a hat, like a little helmet, and they're putting a little antenna on it. All these little antennaed, helmeted birds are flying out all over the place doing God's work.
Doing God's work, Bethany. I mean, the signal bounces up to space and then comes back down again.
Do you think the International Space Station gets a little dee-dee-dee every time there's bird information and they all huddle around the computer and they're like, ooh, it's bird information. Like when Tyra Banks would give Tyra mail on America's Next Top Model.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. I feel like maybe it's the equivalent to me getting ring alerts for my mom's house. Like, something's always going off, but it's not necessarily like a nefarious being. It's usually just like the wind in her ferns or something.
After a while, you stop caring, and that's when you miss the really important stuff.
Yes, exactly. So this project is called the Kivi Kuwaka Project, and they are focusing on birds' ability to hear infrasound. Now, if you're asking yourself, Kathleen, what's infrasound? I'm here to tell you. Infrasound is a low frequency that's inaudible to humans. Researchers believe it is most likely the signal that birds use to sense storms and tsunamis.
We actually did an entire episode on infrasound.
Yes, where that weird noise was coming in Pennsylvania, right?
There was a weird noise, and it was also theorized that the Dyatlov Pass incident, where all of those really expert hikers were just absolutely killed.
Yes, that's
that
right. And
one of the theories is that it was infrasound. I will link that in the show notes, that episode too.
They should have had birds with them.
Yeah, they should have carried birds with little vests and helmets that have antennas on them.
So other places that infrasound come from: lightning strikes, jet engines, and also, strangely enough, the song-like vocalizations of rhinoceroses. Like, what?
I'm just picturing an a cappella group, but the bass singer, which is always like a dude, is a rhino, but still in the matching outfit. It's the rhino going like, ooh. And everyone's eardrums explode.
Bethany, I just can't ever think of rhinoceroses again without thinking them in like a barbershop quartet.
They got a straw hat on, carrying a cane.
And even the earth itself generates a continuous infrasonic hum that we can't hear. But what's really cool here is that tsunamis generate infrasound too. Oh. And because they come on so quickly, it's really rarely ever measured. Basically, the waves, they travel faster when they're in a tsunami wave. And that offers a potential window in which you can detect before a tsunami hits, because these waves that travel faster, they create an infrasonic hum.
Is the issue because it does happen so fast, it's almost like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Because there's not like you're going to have time to evacuate. Is that right? Because there's like seconds.
And also you can't really tell it's coming before it's almost too late, type thing.
All right. So it's like when I see I'm all about similes today. It's like when I see my cat's eyes sort of close right before he sneezes in my mouth. It's like not enough time to close my mouth, but it's enough time for me to know something bad's about to happen.
You shake your fist in the air and you're like, God, the cat sneezed in my mouth again.
Foiled again.
When you know that you're going to fart, but you're trying to hold it in, and there's just not enough warning to run to the bathroom.
Okay. Another first date ruined.
There is some evidence that birds dodge storms by listening to infrasound. In 2014, there was a study, scientists tracking golden-winged warblers in central and southeastern United States. They recorded what's known as an evacuation migration when birds flew up to 9,300 miles to evade the outbreak of tornadoes that killed 35 people and caused more than $1 billion in damage. The birds fled in this storm in southeastern United States. The birds fled at least 24 hours before any foul weather hit. Scientists deduce that they heard the storm coming from more than 250 miles away.
I wonder if this is something that is an instinct they have, or if it's something they learn.
Yeah.
Like they hear this sound or they feel this sound, depending.
Yeah.
And they see others of their species running away, and so they learn.
It's probably a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. Like inherently, they know to outrun infrared sound, but also they see their friends doing it. So they're like, hey, wait for me. It's literally a perfect example of survival of the fittest.
Yeah, you're right.
The birds that do outrun the storm are the birds that survive, and then they are the birds that reproduce.
And the birds that don't believe in the sound or say that the sound is a myth get washed away in the waves of science.
Or the birds that take away female birds' rights and say that the fetus is the same as an adult bird It's yes.
You know, it's a perfect one-to-one comparison.
So there was that really big tsunami in the Indian Ocean in 2004.
Yeah.
Survivors reported that they noticed birds traveling inland in advance of the deadly wave up to 24 hours before the tsunami hit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, it's like another testament to why it's so important to be aware of the world around us. Mm-hmm. Because I feed the birds on my fire escape.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I could tell you a difference in day one and day two about when they come and when they don't come and would I ever think to draw a comparison?
Yeah, like, you have to. That's why I noticed the birds stopped coming to my feeder, but turns out they've already migrated.
Yeah, that's it. Again, is we got to get our heads out of our phones and pay attention to the birds. They're telling us things.
Yeah. So satellites and computer models, they already forecast things like hurricanes and typhoons pretty accurately. But when it comes to tsunamis, satellites and computers are kind of at a loss because tsunamis are a different problem on its own. So the scientists from this French team studying birds and infrasound are hoping to take bird patterns from all storms into account and see if they can come up with a pattern that predicts tsunamis.
I mean, even 24 hours is very helpful. Like,
yeah,
24 hours is super helpful. You can at least try to get away or board things up or whatever.
You know, I thought about this, and when I was doing my research, I was looking it up. Do you ever wonder, you know, the birds that like don't migrate during huge storms or like even just during like a regular large rainstorm. Mm-hmm. Like, where do these dang birds go? They hide in bushes.
I wonder that all the time. They go in bushes?
Yeah, they've got special feet. Birds have special feet where they literally can like lock themselves to branches and they find places to hide deep in the brush where they know that they're not going to get hit by high winds.
It's fascinating. I also was going through my Google search history because I was trying to find something this morning. And my Google search history included, can squirrels eat cat food? And also, what do squirrels do when it rains? And Kathleen, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Squirrels often take their tail
and
hold it over themselves like an umbrella.
Get out of here.
How cute is that?
I've never really thought about what squirrels do when it rains.
I think about squirrels all the time. Kathleen, do you remember when you were trying to like patent your umbrella hat and you were really sort of working the umbrella hat into a lot of conversations in kind of an insidious way?
Yes, 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 I do.
Squirrels really invented the umbrella hat, except it's an umbrella tail.
Where do any animals go when it rains? What about the skunks and the possums? And what about the ants? Like, what happens when it rains? Like, what do the ants do? Because they can easily get washed away.
I think they go underground, is my guess.
Okay.
I think that, you know, the skunks and the possums and, you know, all of our rodent friends probably do the same bush activity or have like burrows. Maybe they have burrows too, like underground. I don't know. I worry about them all the time. When it rains, I just look outside and I worry about the animals.
Yeah, I can see that. But then also they need fresh water. So then when I'm happy it rains and the sun's out, it's like, oh, take a drink, everybody.
Yeah, that's true. Huh. And I should be worrying about like, how am I going to pay rent next month? But really, the squirrels.
No, Bethany, but you have a team of mice that dress you every morning. So I really see where your connection to the animal kingdom comes from.
The birds are really helpful. They help me put my ribbon in my hair.
Okay. So you know what? I saw this thing about, it was like a meme about Cinderella or something. It was like, you know, she never asked for a prince. She just wanted a pretty dress and she wanted a night off.
That's true. That's true. She never went looking for a prince.
No, she just wanted a dress and she wanted a carriage and she wanted a night off from work.
She wanted some bomb-ass sartorial options.
Have you seen the new Cinderella, the one on Amazon starring Camila Cabello?
I have not, but I do love the fact that Billy Porter, I love that he's in it.
I know, me too. I think Minnie Driver is in it also.
She is. I think she is. Have you seen it? I'm guessing no.
No, I haven't, but it's on my list of things to watch. And while we were talking about Cinderella, I thought, oh, I'd bring it up. Minnie Driver, I want to know what her skincare routine is because she's also in Amazon Prime's season 2 of Modern Love. Have you seen any of that?
I've not.
Oh, Bethany, don't worry. It's not too sickly sweet. Most of the stories in this are like about being in love with inanimate objects and stuff like that. So,
like the woman who married the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah, something like that. Like Minnie Driver, she's in love with an inanimate object. And I don't want to tell you more, but she's the first episode. And she looks exactly the same as she did in Hunter, Harvard.
Tinker Tailor, Seamstress Spy.
Good Will Hunting.
Okay, I know this is a tangent, but worth going on.
Yeah.
Dennis and I saw Candyman, the new Candyman, over the weekend.
Oh, I have plans to see that this week. Did you like it?
Loved it. Have you seen the first Candyman?
I haven't. No, should I watch it before I watch the new one?
Yes, definitely. But the woman who plays Anne Marie in the first Candyman, her name is Vanessa Williams, not the Vanessa Williams who was a beauty pageant winner and then went on to be an actress and singer. Vanessa Williams is like a baby in the first Candyman. She's probably 17, or she looks 17.
Yeah.
She shows up in the new Candyman.
Cool.
Spoiler alert, she still looks freaking 17. Like, when she shows up on screen, Dennis and I gripped each other's arms and went, she hasn't aged.
Some people are just so lucky like that.
It's unfair.
I know. I've been fighting cellulite and wrinkles since third grade, so.
Same.
So the Farmer's, I mean, knowing that birds can predict storms is not a new phenomenon. The Farmer's Almanac has been talking about it forever. You know, they used to say that it was attributed to air pressure, which it is in partly.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, they have all of these funny sayings about how birds can indicate weather. Hawks flying high means a clear sky. When they fly low, prepare for a blow.
Whoa! I love a rhyming phrase.
Or geese fly higher in fair weather than in foul.
Oh, get it? Foul.
Birds stop flying and tend to take refuge when they're coastline birds. So when seagulls fly inland, expect a storm. When fowls roost in the daytime, expect rain. These don't rhyme. Petrels gathering under the stern of a ship indicate bad weather. That doesn't rhyme either.
Okay, wait. When petrels gather under the stern of a ship, you get your luggage packed and your flask on your hip, .. because you're going to have to evacuate.
Oh, I get it. Ship and hip.
Trying to make it rhyme.
Apparently, birds singing in the rain indicates that fair weather is approaching.
Birds singing in the rain means the skies will be blue again. See, it's not that hard. Just a little effort, Almanac.
Here's more proverbs. If the crows fly in pairs, expect fine weather. A crow flying alone is the sign of foul weather. They don't rhyme.
If the crow flies alone, you're not going to bone, in parentheses, because no one will be around.
Okay.
If the crow flies in pairs.
Get your sunglasses because the sun will glare.
Okay. We'll workshop that one. What's the next one?
Okay. A partridge drumming in the fall means a mild and open winter.
I don't even know what they're not even making this easy on us.
Partridges, do they have little drumming. Drum sets?
I think they have little drum sets.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Next one.
Okay. If birds in the autumn grow tame, the winter will be too cold for game. Ooh, that rhymes.
Oh, that one rhymes. Okay, great. Like that.
Okay. When the rooster goes crowing to bed, he will rise with a watery head. Ooh, that one rhymes too.
That was good.
Okay. Ready? When the swallow's nest is high, the summer will be very dry. When the swallow buildeth low, you can safely reap and sow.
I appreciate the use of the word buildeth.
Buildeth.
Because that makes it scan better. Yeah, I like that.
My Word document did not like buildeth. It's got that red squiggly underneath, like, this is the wrong word.
Your Word document needs to read more, some more old-timey English.
Well, that is that, Bethany. That's what's new in the world of birds.
Okay, let me give a quick look outside and see what birds we have outside and see what's going to happen. So I have a lot of mourning doves. So hold on a second.
Let's see.
Oh, I see one mourning dove.
Uh-huh.
What's going on, buddy?
Is it flying high?
No, it's scrabbling low.
Scrabbling.
What does that mean?
Oh. Is that dove playing Scrabble?
Yeah, it's playing Scrabble real low. When the doves play Scrabble low,
time for a blow. Or time for some blow.
And then it's just cocaine.
Doesn't it seem like the world is kind of against us from getting a good night's sleep this time of year, Bethany?
This time of year and every time of year. Everything that's bugging you seems to bug you worse at night. And when you're trying to be in a horizontal position and asleep, it just comes flooding into your brain. And if you're like me, you're also sleeping hot, so you're uncomfortable.
I always say, new September, new you. And if your sleep isn't quality sleep, it's time to change that. That's why you have to check out the Purple Mattress. Because the Purple Mattress has this design. It's called the grid.
The grid.
It's a unique ventilated design that allows air to flow through to help you sleep cool. And even when it feels like 1,000 degrees outside, you're like, ah, oh, this grid, I love you so much.
And not only does the grid help you sleep cool, it's also incredibly supportive for your back and legs. It cushions your shoulders and your neck and your hips. No matter how you sleep, if you sleep like me, like a starfish, or if you sleep like Kathleen, tucked into the cutest little ball you've ever seen in your life.
No, I sleep like I'm in a coffin.
And by the way, unlike memory foam, which remembers everything, including your mistakes, the grid bounces back as you move around and shift. So you're not going to feel like you're stuck getting sucked into a mattress.
And they sent us like a little piece of the grid so we could feel it with our own hands. And it's like, oh man, it's so squishy. It's the coolest thing.
I threw it against the wall to see what happened and it was bouncy, but not too bouncy. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah. I almost want to ask for another one so I can use it as like a heel cushion in the back of my shoe.
Oh, hell yes. So try your Purple mattress risk-free with free shippings and returns. Financing is available too.
Purple is comfort reinvented. So right now, you'll get 10% off of any order of $200 or more. All you have to do is go to purple.com/taste and then the number 1010 and use the promo code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, the number 1 and the number 0 to get 10% off of any order of $200 or more.
That's purple.com/taste10, promo code TASTE10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more.
Purple.com/taste10, promo code TASTE10, terms apply. So I saw you hugging a ghost at the Halloween store this weekend. What's that about?
Yeah, Kathleen, the pickings at Spirit Halloween are good this year.
Ooh, tell me about them.
First of all, not sponsored by Spirit Halloween, but my God, I wish you would, because I spent $115 this weekend.
No, what did you buy at Spirit Halloween?
Kathleen, Spirit Halloween is upping its game. Spirit Halloween gets it. So one of the things I love is merchandise from a specific intellectual property. Let's say it's a movie, but it's not like the logo of the movie splashed across the t-shirt. It's like, instead of Friday the 13th, which is the Jason movies.
Yeah.
It's like a hat for Camp Crystal Lake. And it says that you're like a counselor at Camp Crystal Lake. So it's more of a deep cut and you have to know the movie to know the reference, right? I love that kind of merch.
Yeah.
Spirit Halloween is like excelling at that merch right now.
Oh, cool.
You can get like a wooden sign that says, "Welcome to wherever, home of the Sanderson sisters." But it doesn't mention Hocus Pocus. It doesn't mention Disney or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I just love that stuff. So I got two t-shirts by Stephen Rhodes. If you've gone and seen those t-shirts that look like old children's book covers, but it's like how to summon a demon.
Yes.
Or let's sacrifice Toby. Like those.
Yes, I love those. Yeah.
That's an artist named Stephen Rhodes, and he has a bunch of shirts out now. I got one that it's like a black t-shirt. It looks like a tarot card on it.
Ooh.
But where the tarot card would say like the magician or, you know, whatever, it says ghost face. And it's just like a tarot drawing of ghost face from Scream.
Oh, cool.
And then I got another one that is monster, tentacled monster.
Okay.
And it says something like worship your God or something like it's awesome. The clothes I wear all year, I buy at Spirit Halloween. So like I got a couple of awesome body suits. I got like some leggings. I got some fishnets. I got some socks.
My yearly trek to update my wardrobe is Spirit Halloween.
I buy my home decor and my clothing during the Halloween season every year. So shout out to Spirit Halloween. But my money's gone.
I was pushing back on the fall decor, but like now that I feel like after Labor Day, I'm still going to wear white after Labor Day, BT dubs.
Of course you can.
Yeah, like fuck that. Fuck that rule. I love a good winter white. But anyway, I'm finally embracing the decor. I was watching Taste Bud Sydney. She had this really cute reel and she went through all her house where she like removed the summer flowers and put in the pumpkins like next to her TV. And,
hell yeah.
But I can't wait to paint pumpkins this year. I'm not going to carve them. I've decided that carving pumpkins is too messy.
Yeah, too much. Do they go bad faster if you don't gut them and carve them?
No. I believe that they stay better longer.
Oh.
Because they're not exposed to the outside bacteria and then also air can't circulate through their innards.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I do. I, you know, this is the closest I think I'll ever get to like like knowing what it's like to be pregnant is this nesting feeling that mothers apparently get, where they want to start, you know, making the nursery nice and doing all these things. That's how I get in the fall, is I want to like stay home and like make it all spooky and comfy.
Gentle listener, if you like the idea of decorating for Halloween, but you want also your decor to work for Thanksgiving / also you're not into the spooky, but you like the cute pumpkin stuff, I'm going to link in the show notes. I have a really excellent, highly curated Halloween and Thanksgiving decor ideas board on Pinterest.
Wow. You are a source and a font of information.
Oh, Bethany, Bethany, Bethany.
Kathleen, what was the link that you sent me before we started recording? It's a Cosmo article that I cannot open because it's a paywall, but I can see the title and the title is hilarious.
Oh, that means you've already read 4 articles on Cosmo this month already.
I've not read any articles on Cosmo this month.
It's not letting you access the paywall. Okay. There's this ridiculous idea coming from Cosmo. It's the best song to fuck to.
Okay, fair. Is it Closer by Nine Inch Nails?
It is not. No. I'm gonna fuck you like an animal. I wanna feel you from the inside. No, it's Holding Out for a Hero from Shrek. But Cosmo is very specific that it's the part where the rhythmic beat starts. And then, so anyway, I cut the music to the part where they say it's time to fuck, according to Cosmo. And I want you to listen to it because I'm not sure if like this is a Get It On song. I don't know. So okay. Here we go. Are you feeling horny yet, Bethany?
Not with Shrek's voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck, 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 fuck. It's awful. I mean, yeah, it's got a good pounding beat, but like...
So the... I mean, the rhythm is great, and I do love that song.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, I don't know.
So... Yeah. I can see why, because the rhythm is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm reading like the teaser text from this Cosmo article. Mm-hmm. The title is All Right, I Found It. The best song to fuck to is Holding Out for a Hero from Shrek. And then the subtitle of the teaser text says, just as fairy godmother draped herself across the piano, I pulled my girlfriend to my lap and started to finger her rhythmically to the beat of the music, plunging my pointer finger in and out as fairy godmother ran in place.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's a great beat. It's why I love Eurovision so much, is because all of the songs basically sound like The Final Countdown, which is the best song ever written. And they're great beats. They're like motivating. So if you really want to get a good workout love making session in, I feel like this is the corner you really want to park your butt in.
Oh, my God. As I rode my girlfriend's face into oblivion, I rewinded one last time to the beginning when the fairy godmother sprawled out on the piano showing her perfect cleavage begins, and as she jiggled her chest here and there, I came hard, laughing harder, completely unnerved by the raw sexual power of a cartoon drawing.
I mean, look, I can't knock anybody who finds cartoons attractive. I had a crush on the Robin Hood fox for years and years.
Oh, he was kind of handsome, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a hottie. He had like that kind of like, I'm gonna cause you some life problems, but you're gonna have a good time smile.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of sex, Cosmo is also saying that the new trend in relationships is ethical non-monogamy.
Like open relationships?
Yeah, it's basically like the practice of having multiple sexual partners or romantic relationships with the knowledge and agreement of all partners involved.
That is awesome if you can handle it emotionally.
Yeah.
I know someone who does that.
Really?
And he's super honest with all parties involved.
Huh.
The problem is that all of the people he's dating fall in love with him. And so he apparently has that good. So like he will say, look,
BDE.
Yeah. I am going to sleep with you. I'm just going to sleep with you. This is not a relationship. We're just going to sleep together. for fun and frivolity and whenever we want.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also going to be sleeping with other people. And they're always like, yeah, that's fine. I don't want anything else. Smash cut to a week later. And they're like fawning over him and going like, I want to be your girlfriend because he's so respectful and polite and good in bed. And they can't take it.
That's a technique I used to use to get boys to like me. I used to pretend to not be too invested.
Yeah.
And then they would become more invested. Like maybe it's less about how polite and good in bed this guy is and more about the fact that he's like, I like you, but not that much.
Oh, wow. Oh, yep. I bet you're right.
Because then he becomes a challenge to get.
Then he's a challenge.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, man. And there's nothing worse than a challenge, especially a respectful challenge where they're like, I know you want me, but you're not going to get me because no one can get me. And we've all been taught as ladies, we can fix that.
Damn, Bethany, our emotions are so fucked up. Like I can't even.
I know. Ah, man, I'm so glad I'm in a relationship because I cannot even, I'm not good at playing that game.
Yeah.
I was always like, I'm just going to be honest with how invested I am in you before we've even gotten together. And that tends to frighten people away.
Beth.
And I don't know.
Did you watch anything good on the streaming services this weekend?
I have been watching Halloween. I watched Halloween. I watched Halloween 2. I'm in the middle of Halloween H2O. Kathleen, may I tell you an amazing moment?
Yes, please do.
So Halloween H2O came out in the year 2000, introducing Josh Hartnett. And there's this incredible moment where Jamie Lee Curtis is approached by a fellow teacher. She's like a teacher at this private school.
Yeah.
The teacher is this older woman, and the teacher is played by Janet Leigh.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis's real mother.
Oh.
Janet Leigh was also famously in Psycho.
I love when family members show up in the same movie, like same projects together. It's like, oh, they're related.
So Janet Leigh comes up to Jamie Lee Curtis's character and says, it might not be my place.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get maternal with you for a second. And we're all like, oh, because she is her mom. And then she says some really sweet, supportive things. And then she turns around and walks to her car, which is the same car she drove in Psycho. It's like a 57 Ford, I think.
Oh.
And the music is all creepy. But then as she turns and walks to the car, a few bars from Psycho start to play in the background music. It's like, da 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 da. Like that Psycho music, and then it like goes into something else, and so all of these little Easter eggs for people who love slasher and horror films. It was so cool, and I just loved seeing it.
I love that. I love little Easter eggs.
I do too. What about you? Did you watch anything good?
Okay, I watched She's All That follow-up.
Okay, was He All That indeed?
Bethany, it was awful. It was god awful. And usually I'm into that kind of awful kind of stuff, but it was just awful, awful.
Like bad script, bad acting?
Yes. It's like the whole thing. It was just so stupid. Rachel Lee Cook plays the mom, like the single mom.
Yeah.
You know where Rachel Lee Cook has a single dad in the first one?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was terrible.
Was Freddie Prinze Jr. in it?
No, he wasn't. Oh. He's too busy doing things with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, being perfect.
Oh, but I'll tell you who was in it. Matthew Lillard. Do you remember him?
Matthew Lillard?
Lillard.
Lillard.
I don't know why.
Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard. Classic horror movie, which is a Netflix Italian horror movie that they dubbed over in English. I thought that was pretty good.
Cool. I like that you're watching these horror movies. You're getting in the season.
And Nine Perfect Strangers on Hulu is the show that everybody needs to watch immediately.
What's that one about?
It's Nicole Kidman, Melissa McCarthy. There's a bunch of famous people in it. Michael.
Ian Black.
Nope. Hang on.
Somerhalder.
Nope. The one from
Michael
Brooklyn.
Jordan.
Nope.
Bublé.
Nope.
George Michael. George Michael Jr.
From The Road to Perdition.
Michael Gambino. Michael Childish Gambino. Childish Gambino.
Michael Shannon.
Who's Michael Shannon?
Bethany, you know who Michael Shannon is. He used to work with his sister-in-law. Nicole Kidman, Michael Shannon, Bobby Cannavale, Melissa McCarthy, Samara Weaving. They're all in it, Bethany.
Amazing. Well, I will have to watch it then.
It's based on a Leanne Moriarty book called Nine Perfect Strangers. It is so good. It's like Nicole Kidman is this like Russian wellness guru, and they all go to her like wellness camp for 10 days, and she's like microdosing them. It's so good.
God, I love a cult. Not for me, but for others. And not for them, but just for the story.
I mean, I really want to go to a place that's going to microdose me without my knowledge. That sounds so fun.
Dude, I will microdose you without your knowledge. I just needed to know. You can't expect me to read your mind, Kathleen.
1,000 years ago, a journalist for Vogue wrote about how she went to this sort of wellness camp in Switzerland where they make you not talk and they don't let you eat tomatoes. And she came back like happier and 15 pounds lighter. And ever since, I've been obsessed with these weird health wellness camps.
I too know someone who went to a yoga retreat where they weren't allowed to talk for a week. And she said that it was the most beautiful, wonderful experience of her life because she was able to communicate with people in much more meaningful ways because they weren't talking. And so you could like connect with someone over a grain of sand. I don't know. It sounded wonderful and transformative.
Yeah.
But, you know, also she wore nothing but linen. So then I was like, oh, am I just going to become a linen person? I don't know. Linen doesn't hold its shape and it just doesn't wash well.
Taste Bud Jasmine eons ago wrote in about how her girlfriend took her and she was like really wary about it. But she actually ended up having a good time at like a yoga retreat where you don't talk too much.
I mean, if I can do the not talking part but skip the yoga, I would be on freaking board.
Oh, stop it. You like stretching. You like that.
I do, but I don't like yoga. I tend to fall asleep.
Yeah. And that Shavasana, you're like.
Exactly. Kathleen.
We're going to ask each other the same time. I'm going to ask you first, Bethany. What'd you learn this week?
I learned that I need to stop anticipating a fight. Because it doesn't mean a fight is going to happen.
Oh, no. You and Dennis?
No. We're good. But when we went to see Candyman this weekend, we went to the movie theater.
Yeah.
And we were really excited about seeing it. And there was a family behind us that were talking a ton during the movie previews.
Yeah.
And I was bracing for them to be pains in the butt and start talking the whole movie. And I worked myself up into a tizzy going like, well, then I'm just going to stand up and turn around and I'm going to be polite at first. But then if they're mean back, which I'm sure they'll be mean and sarcastic back, yep. Then I'm going to say this. And I got myself so angry and worked up and they were super respectful. As soon as the previews were done, they shut right up.
You know what? We've all been there where you're like, I'm going to say this to them.
Yeah, I'm anticipating a fight that's going to happen. And now I'm mad at this person and they did nothing wrong. What about you, Kathleen? What'd you learn this week?
So I've been listening to this podcast called Maintenance Phase.
Okay.
It's hilarious. It's a lot about diet culture in America, but sometimes they'll go into things like the history of different types of nutrition and whatnot. Anyway, I learned that fiber in food wasn't discovered until 1960.
Whoa, that's very recent history.
Right? Like fiber wasn't recognized by nutritionists as things that people needed until the 60s.
Whoa.
I know.
So if people were having a hard time clearing out the road, as it were.
Yeah.
They were just like, well, I got to pray about it. What did they think was going to happen?
You know, I didn't look that far into it, but maybe I'll do like a podcast topic on fiber.
I'll be uncomfortable the whole time. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter. You can also find our show on social media.
We're on Twitter, Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
You can also find us on our website, Acquired Taste Podcast. .com.
We have an email address, and that's anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
Also, we have a phone number. Leave us a voicemail. We play your voicemails at the end of almost every episode, and we love to hear from you. That number is 917-994-0353.
And we have a snail mail address, and you can send us your love letters to... Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030. And we have two live shows coming up this month. The first one that you need to be aware of is September 9th.
Which is probably tonight.
Yes. Yeah. If you're listening in the morning, we're going to go live sometime after 5:30 p.m. ET. We're going to take a little poll on the Instagram to find out when the best time is. And our next show after that is
September 29th.
You can join in on the fun for our live shows by joining our Patreon page. And that is patreon.com/acquiredtaste. And we'll put all of this in the show notes, of course.
Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on all social media at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
And Bethany, somebody sent you the ballerina sweater from Target. Yes. You talked about it last time we were on the live show, but I thought it's worth a mention on the big podcast.
I'm so glad you brought this up. Like years ago at the beginning of this podcast, I talked about this gray sweater with the ballerina on it that I've been coveting for years. And we had the sweetest listener send it to me. They didn't leave their name. Whoever you are, thank you so much. I started crying during the live show. It was so thoughtful and so generous. So thank you. Just above and beyond. Thank you so much.
All right, Bethany, do your thing.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
All right, taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies and fellow buds. This is Hannah from Vermont. I am just catching up on episodes after my maternity leave, and I was listening to the episode where Bethany and Kathleen were talking about like different burial methods, and it made me think of a funeral I was just at recently for a former coworker of mine. And so I'm at the funeral, and when it's over, the minister was saying like, okay, we're going to go out behind the church now for the burial, and everyone's invited. And I'm thinking, oh, how convenient, like there's a cemetery out behind the church. No, wrong. There's a garden. I'm like, okay, that's nice. They're going to like bury her ashes in a little wooden box in the garden. Nope, wrong again. They open up the box and just take her ashes out and just dump them into a hole in the garden. And on top of that, the minister is like, okay, there's a little pile of dirt next to the hole that we've dug. And if everyone wants to come up and put a little shovel full of dirt over her ashes for, you know, a feeling of closure. And so everyone goes up and dumps a little bit of dirt. And eventually the pile of dirt gets smaller and smaller so that the pile of dirt is now on top of her ashes. And the last person to go up and do this had not realized that. So she takes a big old scoop into the pile of dirt and flips up a bunch of the ashes and scatters them throughout the garden. And then she does this like panic shovel to scoop them all back into the hole that she had just undug. And another coworker and I happened to catch this, and it took everything in us to not bust a gut laughing at this funeral. But I just had to share this interesting burial practice. Anyways, love you ladies. Love you buds. Have a great day.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Heather, taste bud from Finland. I was just listening to you guys talk about your house shoes or slippers in the house. We don't wear shoes inside the house here in Finland, but my feet are always cold. So I have woolly socks all the time. And if I can't find my woolly socks, I will wear some sort of slipper, but it's because I hate touching my feet to dirty floors. And you have dirty floors when you have two kids, two cats, and a husband. So no matter how often I clean the floors, there's always something on the floor. So woolly socks it is to keep my feet warm. And when I go to bed, and I don't wear my dirty woolly socks in bed, I have those grain bags that you can heat in the microwave. So if you heat that for a minute or two and then crawl into bed and put that on your feet, you have warm feet and you can fall asleep instantly. Have a great day. Bye.
Hey, ladies. This is Tastewood Zag, I guess. I'm just calling because you guys are talking about liminal spaces, and then you started going on a tangent about the sort of smoky 70s bathroom blocks that you guys were mentioning. And I wanted to bring it up because I just had a moment where I heard a story in Japan. They actually have public bathrooms that are entirely see-through glass. And then they have a technology that makes it so that when you're in there and you lock the bathroom because you're going to use it assumably, it turns the full see-through glass into that sort of smoky 70s thing. And I thought that was sort of interesting. And when you guys were talking about the not wanting to see things, I figured that, well, in Japan, that's sort of normal. So I wonder if that's a shared sentiment across the entire world, or is it just like Japan's more into exhibitionism or something? I don't know. It was just interesting. So thanks for the podcast. I've been listening for since the beginning, and have a great rest of your day, ladies.
Hey, ladies. It's Alicia, long-time listener. So basically, I had to like stop in the middle of the podcast just to call you guys and inform you on something. So, Kathleen, I remember you saying that you were on a plane. You just came back from visiting your brother. And I just want to let you know, because, you know, I'm a little crazy. I'm a little, like germaphobia. But they have disposable toilet seat covers. I bring these with me every single time I travel. And you know what? You could take a pee. You could do a number two comfortably, because that's most important. And not have to worry. You know, you're not cleaning anything. You're not squatting. You're not holding on to anything. You're not touching anything gross. You can just sit on the toilet and be fine. Number two, Stephanie. You were talking about Jean. You guys probably already follow her on Instagram, but her name is Remy. I don't know if it's Bader or Remy Bader, like Remy, R-E-M-I, and then the last name is B-A-D-E-R. She's freaking hilarious. I believe she's a plus-size model, and she always does try-on hauls. And she tries the clothes on, and obviously in her size, and then she does the weird, awkward poses that models do, like Zara specifically. And it's hilarious, and I think you guys would love it. But I love you guys, and, you know, keep it cute.
Hi, it's Caitlin. I'm just driving and I'm listening to the bonus episode and you're talking about excuses for not doing something. So I will always remember my mom in high school, or let me take a step back. I was a little bit more shy in high school compared to now. And in high, like, I was invited to go to like the county fair and I did not want to go, but I also like got a lot of stress, like telling people that I didn't want to do things because I was such a whole body and I just would rather read or go swimming at my house. So my mom and I staged a fight where my friend was on the phone and I was like, yeah, no, that won't work. Don't worry about it. My mom was like, are you kidding? Like, you haven't cleaned up your room yet. You're not going anywhere. You're cleaning up my room tonight. Your room tonight. And I was like, oh no, I'm so sorry. And honestly, my mom was a real one in that. So she came in clutch. All right, see you later. That was my story. Bye-bye.